Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Hello, and welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. This episode, you're going to hear about this month's new releases in Christian romantic suspense. I hope you will enjoy hearing from your favorite romantic suspense authors as they talk about the background of their latest books.
I'm delighted to welcome back Jodi Bailey. She's going to talk about her romantic suspense, Buried Mountain Justice. So welcome back to my show, Jodi.
Hi, thank you for having me back. I love coming here.
Yeah, well, I love talking about books, so I'm just really glad that you can come talk about this one. Let's talk about your heroine first. What did she want to be when she grew up, and did she become that person?
She wanted to be a ballet dancer, and she worked really hard for that. And she even was like a premier dancer in Virginia, where she was from. But then something happened to derail her, and she did not become that person.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah,
I'm sad
yeah.
for a fictional person. I know. It makes me sad. Okay. So let's switch to your hero. What is his biggest regret?
He was raised in a family that they had to go into witness protection when he was very young, when he was in middle school. Mm-hmm. And as you know, that's like kind of a trying time already. And so they moved, Noah and his family moved from Washington State to the mountains of Virginia, West Virginia, right, you know, right in that little corner area. Mm. And he acted out a lot, and to the point that it almost got his family outed. And so he has a lot of regrets about his behavior as a teenager and how he treated his best friend, who happens to be the heroine, Kelsey.
Ah.
So he's got some past things he's having to work through.
Yeah, I think so. What about your villain? How does your villain unwind in this story? And I'm glad you picked this one question, because not many people do, but I think thought it was a fun question.
I think it is fun, because it's cool when villains are a little bit complex, because they're human.
Yep.
So it's kind of a fun question, but without giving too much away, where the story is set, there are a lot of the Hatfield and McCoy ATV trails are up there. And so my villain is a big fan of riding ATVs on the Hatfield and McCoy trails up there with some friends. And it's something
yeah,
that does come up in the story a little bit.
Yeah, oh, that's fun. Yeah, I mean, you're right. If we don't give our villains some nuances and some, you know, understandable reasons for what they do, there's,
mm-hmm.
No point.
Nobody
so
is evil for no reason.
Exactly. We might not agree with their reason, but there's a reason.
Exactly.
So what about the story's setting? Why this particular setting? You've already talked about that a little bit, but why do you want to set it where you set it?
So much fun. Mm-hmm. My husband actually goes with the men of our church. We go to a biker church, and they go up into the mountains in that Virginia, West Virginia area every year and ride around for like 4 days and just bond and camp and do all the fun stuff. And he always wanted to take me. And I fell in love with it. It's gorgeous up there, and there's so many neat little things. There's a whole little Amish community up there, and they live in a place called Burke's Garden. I think I'm saying that right. I had the best sandwich of my life at a little place by a lady named Maddie. And so that area's in the book. And then that whole area, he took me to, like, all the coal mining countries up there. And the trails are up there. We didn't ride the trails, but we visited all the little towns. And you can even go up there and go to the inn that was Kellerman's Lodge in the 80s movie Dirty Dancing. And it's gorgeous up there and beautiful, but there's also kind of a dark history up there. And so it was really neat to kind of take that trip and set the story there and play off all of those elements up there.
Ah, I love it. I love it. That's so fun. So fun to do. And so what about the storyline? What was the hardest part of writing this book?
This one was really probably the most delicate book I've ever written because the reason Kelsey did not become a ballerina is because she was assaulted in high school, and it totally derailed her sense of identity, her just putting herself out there to be viewed in public kind of thing. And it gave her this sense of wanting to help others as well. And so it was really walking that line of being sensitive to readers who've been there and wanting them to see in her a strength and a hope and a survivorship, and maybe feel for the ones who are feeling lost to kind of see that there's hope, and the ones who have come through to be able to feel a kinship to her, and hopefully to be able to start a discussion. Because it was something that she hid and needed to let come out. So that was a tough one, and a lot of prayer went into every day of writing that book.
Yeah, I bet. And I love that as fiction writers we can tackle the deeper issues that happen like that. So we are almost out of time, Jody, so let's end with, what's one thing you want readers to know about Buried Mountain Justice?
Okay, this was a weird thing that happened when I was writing the book. I kept, it's set in the winter, obviously, and it's like January time frame, and I kept having it would cloud up, and they were like, oh, it's going to snow, and then it wouldn't snow. And it just kept happening through the book that I would say, and for some reason, I just kept saying, oh, it looks like it's going to snow, and then it wouldn't snow. And then the last chapter of the book, when everything is resolved, Kelsey's sitting outside and it's snowing. And I was like, well, that's, why did I do that? Like, you know, why didn't it snow? And then suddenly it snowed. And it hit me like, you know, we write, when I write, I do a lot of praying, and that God had kind of set it up in that this is an area that is marked by coal mining. And so it's kind of, can be a little dreary in the winter. And so how snow comes along and it makes things clean and it makes things bright. And I was like, oh, this whole time, up until she told her secret, everything was dark and dreary. And then when she was able to speak her truth out, then suddenly everything was bright and clean. And I thought that was just a really neat thing that happened that I didn't even know I was setting up. I was just like, well, I'm a business.
Oh, I love it, Jody.
At the end, it was like, oh, my gosh, that's really kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, sometimes our subconscious, they work in mysterious ways when we write. So thank you for sharing that and for about Buried Mountain Justice. So I appreciate you being on my show again.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm delighted to welcome back Megan Short. She's going to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Trapped on the Alaskan Glacier. So welcome back, Megan.
Thanks so much for having me, Sarah.
I am so excited you picked this question because not many of my authors have picked it. So what does your heroine keep hidden from everyone?
Well, I'm glad that I'm one of the only ones that kind of makes sense, really. My heroine, Beth Ryder, is actually keeping her entire identity hidden from everyone because she's in the WITSEC program, which is witness protection, and she's dyed her hair red, she's put on weight, she's obsessed with her changed appearance and persona. She won't allow anyone to get close to her in case they find out who she really is, because it's very important that her identity is kept secret. Hers is actually a unique situation because most WITSEC witnesses are criminal informants, which is kind of fun for our hero, who's not so used to handling civilians, but it also means that Beth is very honest in her approach, which brings a lot of heartache for her.
Oh, I love that. Yes, she better keep that hidden from people. So it doesn't sound like your hero has that problem. So where did he grow up? And he's, I guess, able to talk about where he grows up. So where did he grow up in this story?
Yeah, well, he actually grew up all over. His dad was in the army, so he was shuffled wherever his dad was posted. And his dad was only posted to Alaska once during his childhood, but it was like the biggest impact of all time. And he loved Alaska and he was so bummed when they had to leave. So he's assigned this WITSEC detail in Alaska. He's absolutely over the moon. He's so excited about it. And it was only by chance, you know, as far as he's concerned, that he had to step in because his colleague who's assigned to Beth has come down with a bad dose of flu. And it's a rocky start for Jake because Beth is not happy to see him at all. She is expecting her other handler and he is not, he's just not her cup of tea. But at least for him, he gets to enjoy the scenery in Alaska along the way.
And so what about your villain in this story? What's your villain's motivation?
Well, there are actually a few villains in this one, which will hopefully keep the readers guessing, but each of the villains are actually motivated by the same things, power and money. I can't give too much away about the key villain because, you know, spoilers, but yep. It's someone who isn't afraid to ride roughshod over anyone who gets in the way. And unfortunately for Beth and Jake, that's them.
Yeah, definitely. And okay, we already know that there's a glacier involved and that it's in Alaska, but how does the story, the setting, move your story forward?
Well, I mean, I love setting my stories in Alaska, and this story in particular, it's really an integral part for moving the story forward. So every part of nature is against Beth and Jake as they try to escape from those who are after them. They just can't catch a break. So the glacier itself, I was sort of inspired when I went to Alaska walking on a glacier and I learned that they are way more treacherous than you might think. There are crevasses and these little rivers and caves and things can give way unexpectedly. And that inviting looking pool that you might want to jump into to cool off on a hot day, you won't be getting out of it again because it'll chew you to the bone. I also just really enjoyed listening to the glacier itself because it's a moving thing. So there's a lot of popping and cracking, and I've tried to capture that in the story.
Yeah, it sounds really fascinating. So, but why this particular story, Megan? Why did you want to write this particular story?
Well, I was writing Alaskan Police Protector, which is the previous Love Inspired Suspense, and I knew there was just something a little suspicious about Beth. She had a past, and I wasn't quite sure what it was. And so when I just started exploring her story, I realized that she was living this terrible double life, but for all the right reasons. I also like that she has quite a tenuous faith, so I wanted to give her a hero with a strong faith who just cut through the walls she'd put up. And so I loved writing Jake. He has this really tough exterior because of his job and he has his own lessons he needs to learn, but he has a really soft heart and he really cares about the witnesses he's protecting. He takes his job very seriously. I thought I'd put this in as well. I have to apologise to my aunt and other readers who feel this way. So she read my previous book and said, oh, so what are you writing next? And I said, oh, I'm going to do Beth's story. And she said, oh, you can't possibly write a story about Beth. She's already been through so much. So I said, well, yeah, she has been through a lot, but I feel like her story just really needs to be told, you know, that a lot of readers will hopefully see hope in her journey and just see that this is what she needed to have a closer relationship with God. And look, I think all of our hardship makes the happy ending much sweeter.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that we can take our characters and, you know, infuse that hope in them. So we're going to close our short time together with what is one thing you want readers to know about Trapped on the Alaskan Glacier?
Well, I would just like to know them to know that I chose the verse, Matthew 11:28-29, because I just want readers to have the chance to reflect on that passage and what it means in their own lives. It's come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
Yeah, it's a great verse, Megan. Thank you, and thank you so much for sharing about your book on my show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Sarah. It's always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to talk with Jessica R. Patch about her latest romantic suspense, A Killer in Texas. So welcome back, Jessica.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So we're going to start with your heroine, because I always think the ladies should go first. How does your heroine feel about love at the beginning of this particular story?
Oh, Libby is so down with love. She does not want a romantic relationship with anybody because she's had her heart just torn completely out, and she is not willing to risk it again.
Well, I have a feeling your hero is going to come to her rescue. I know. Happy ending guaranteed. I'm sorry. Yeah, all our stories have happy ending guarantees. I'm like, if you don't like that, you're listening to the wrong podcast. So let's talk about your hero. What is – I mean, Siri, that's just the way it's going to happen. But it's getting there is the fun part. So what about your hero? What is his greatest fear?
His greatest fear is that he is not going to be able to protect the people he loves because he has, in his mind, failed in the past. And it's not a spoiler alert, but he lost his wife to a brutal, brutal homicide by a serial killer. And it was a cat and mouse game, and he lost. And so that is his greatest fear.
So your villain in this story, who or what does your villain love the most?
He loves himself the most, absolutely. He is all about other people's pain for his pleasure, and there is no one that he loves more than himself.
What about the setting? Why? I mean, it has Texas in the title, so I'm guessing it's somewhere in Texas, mm-hmm. but... Why did you pick that setting?
Sure.
I know, it's a dead giveaway, right?
Yeah. Spoiler alert, Texas. I wrote a series before this called The Texas Crime Scene Cleaners, and I wanted to go to Texas for somewhere fresh and fun. And while I was writing that particular story, these main characters popped up to aid the main characters in that particular series. And so I wanted to continue to explore their story. And their base setting was in Texas. And I think Texas is fun. It's such a huge, massive state that you can have four or five books with all kinds of serial killers and not have, like, 20 serial killers all in one small town of, like, 2,000 people. You know, like, how many killers can we have in one tiny town? So Texas is such a broad state that it's a perfect place for multiple horrible things to happen and it not feel a little bit contrived or everybody moving out of the town.
Yes, because, you know, one serial killer, maybe. Two, I think I would be finding another place to live if my town
was that tiny.
Yeah. So I know you always include some underlying positive message in your story. So what is the underlying positive message of A Killer in Texas?
I would say that it's about trusting God in all circumstances, because being a Christian doesn't mean that your life is easy, that you're not going to face hardship, grief, or loss or pain. You're guaranteed to suffer. It's all throughout the entire Bible and all throughout the New Testament. And my characters need to learn that just because tragedy, loss, pain, grief, and challenges hit them doesn't mean that that's the measuring stick for God's love, and they can trust God. And if they can trust God, then they can trust their heart to love again. And that's what I think I want readers to take away, this positive message, is that the measuring stick of God's love for you is not your circumstance, because nothing separates us from the love of God, period.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's one thing that we cannot emphasize enough, those basic truths about God in our books. And I love that we can use fiction to do that. I love that we can do that with Christian fiction. We're going to close our short time with, what's one thing you want readers to know about this book?
I would love readers to know that this book is more of a suspense thriller. So it's going to mirror some of my trade link thrillers, not in the graphic, because we do have guidelines within love-inspired suspense, but it is definitely twisty, creepy, and more along those veins. So if you like my thrillers, you're really, really going to like this. If you like just my normal romantic suspense with Love Inspired, you're still going to enjoy it. I mean, it's not going to freak you out or anything, but it does have those twists and turns and that creepy feeling that my trades have. And so I'm excited about that. The feedback's been really, really exciting to hear.
Ah, that's great. Well, thank you so much for sharing about A Killer in Texas on my show today.
Thanks, Sarah, for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm delighted to welcome Julie Clausen to my show. She's going to talk about her historical romantic suspense, Whispers at Painswick Court. So welcome, Julie.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm happy to be here.
So your heroine in this story, what did she want to be when she grew up, and did she actually become that person?
Good question. Anne has grown up as a surgeon's daughter, and so she has grown up working alongside her dad, and she wishes that she could be a doctor or something like her father. But my books are all set in those, you know, the early 1800s in England, so women were not allowed. So no, she did not get to be what she's always wanted, but she still continues to help people, you know, serving as a nurse and other ways to help people who need medical care.
Well, you know, sometimes that happens, but she sounds like she found a good way to serve in the medical field anyway.
Yeah.
So let's switch to your hero. What's his biggest regret in this story?
Well, his regret is he had a young woman under his care, a young relative, and he did not protect her, and she ended up being taken advantage of and getting into a bad situation, and he has always felt that that was his fault. That's on him. So he's trying to kind of figure out some way to correct that and help her move along with her life. So when Anne, my heroine, first meets him, he's got a lot of secrets. You don't know, she doesn't quite know what this guy's got all going on and why he's whispering with this young woman. But it's part of the mystery, but she will learn that he's a good guy before the end.
Yeah, well, of course, because we always have happy endings and good guys.
Yes,
what
we
do. What we need. So, but your villain isn't such a nice person. So who or what does your villain love the most in this story?
Well, I can't give you too much because, you know, it is a murder mystery, whodunit. So I will just say that he or she loves themselves the most. As is, you know, we all struggle with that a little bit, but this person has kind of an unlimited store of self-interest and kind of justifies all the wrong done because believes that they deserve everything they want in life, no matter the cost to other people.
Dangerous combination.
Mm-hmm.
So the story setting, you talked a little bit about where you set them, but why did you pick this particular, part of England for your story?
Yeah. Well, this is probably my favorite thing to talk about because I love England. So my husband and I were traveling through the Cotswolds region of England, my favorite area. And we were just planning to breeze through this village called Painswick, and we were going on somewhere else. But we got there, and this has happened to me a few times in my career, where I got there and I looked around, I saw this big, amazing church and this gorgeous churchyard and this kind of adjacent manor house right through the wall in the church. Door in the churchyard wall. And I just right away, I'm like, I want to set a story somewhere in this area. And we stayed in that manor house. I didn't even know it was a bed and breakfast, but we kind of crept in and said, "Do you have any rooms?" And that ended up really inspiring the story because this manor house has all this delicious kind of gothic legends. King Charles I stayed there, and to this day, people claim they see his ghost. There's all this wonderful legends and lores about the 99 yew trees in the churchyard. Anyway, when I find that kind of a thing as a writer, enough truth or enough, you know, legend, things based on reality, even though I'm writing fiction, that I can weave into my fictional world, I love that. So that is how I easily picked that place. And then when we went back again a year or so later, and at that point, the manor had returned to private ownership, So I'm so glad we stayed while we could, but we were able to do more research and meet some local historians. And yeah, I just fell in love with Painswick. So looking forward to going there. I'm leading a group trip in June, and that's one of the places we'll be visiting.
Ah, sounds lovely. It's one of the reasons I would love to write historical fiction, but then all the research gets in the way, and I have such limited writing time. Yeah. I'm like, nah, I need to just tell the stories. I'll just read it. I'll just read it and enjoy it that way. So for you, what was the hardest part of writing this story, this book?
Yeah, and you probably know this better than anybody, but trying to balance, you're trying to build the mystery, build the suspense, mm-hmm. but also keep the romance going. And in my case, I've also got some history and some things, you know, to explain on that front, and trying to keep the pacing going, because, you know, in a whodunit, you kind of have to introduce, there's a lot of characters, several of whom have reasons to dislike the victim, and so there's multiple suspects, and trying to not bog the story down while building that mystery and slowly building the romance at the same time. That is a trick. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert at that yet. Thankfully, I have generous first readers and good editors who helped me kind of hone that balance and the pacing. Because it is a challenge for me to keep both going well.
Yes, it often is. Often is. Some of my drafts, I'm like, oh, yeah. I really ignore the romance. I guess so I'm focused on the mystery and the suspense.
Yeah, go back.
Well, we are out of time, Julie. This has been delightful. We'll close with, what is your book's tagline?
So my book's tagline is, she expected to return to Painswick to bring I can't even say my own tagline, Sarah. She expected her return to Painswick. Okay, here we go. She expected her return to Painswick to bring memories, not danger and romance.
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, which of course she finds in her Happy Ever After. Spoiler alert, everything's fine, right, at the end.
In a Julie Clausen book, you're going to have a happy ending. So,
yes,
for sure.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing today, Julie.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.